have a lot of bells and whistles. So sometimes we'll just sing a song, get say a prayer request, and then we'll get right into the word. So we will sing a song this morning.
Ever likes to preach and I like to sing.
I think
y'all here would be so much more fun.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's on way. And we have some visitors here this morning, and they're bright-eyed and bushy-tail and smiling and all. So we welcome you here for the first time. We also have visitors visiting on the our broadcast. We do YouTube Live. We do Apple TV, Roku, through a Boxcast app that you can download, and then you can see us live right now. So we are live even on Facebook at the Dispensational Bible Church webpage. Website is www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. But once again, we're excited that there's sun shining out. It's not snowing.
Amen.
We talked to a couple yesterday at the campground, and they left Colorado, and for I think it took 5 days. They hit snowstorms, tornadoes, and all that stuff, and finally got here. And they was like from the west, and they was like, we was wanting to stay out west. You know, we was debating whether to come here. But anyway, it's a glorious day that we can just be thankful for what we have. We're going to sing a song this morning, "Victory in Jesus." We're going to, it's page 496 in your red book. Now, if the choir meets on Wednesday night, I'm usually not there, so they're going to out-sing me, or you guys can out-sing the choir. How's that? Victory in Jesus. I think we'll sing 1 and 3. I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory,
how he gave his life
on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He's taught me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me there, I knew him, and all the love was to him. It comes me to victory beneath the cleansing. I heard about a mansion he built for me in glory. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing that old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there a song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever.
He's taught me and bought me
with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing fire. All right.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. And as we think about the victory in Jesus that we have, we just owe it all to you. That you gave your son, that he died and was buried and rose again for our sins. And by trusting that and that alone, you save us, you seal us, and you sanctify us forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I was trying to figure out if we're as online or not, Sherry. So I'm thinking we are. So
I'm the IT in preacher.
Okay. But I'm sure if sometimes I get messing up here, and I see if we're online, and but it doesn't matter. You know, we'll record anyway. But we're in lesson five. And before we get to lesson five, we want to lift up prayer requests and praise items for people that might be ailing with illnesses, sicknesses, finances, that type of thing. So, you know, sometimes people email us and text us and ask us to lift them up. So let's just keep that in thought and prayer as you go out throughout the day and throughout the week, because any time we always look for help. And we know what the Word of God says: when we make all things known to God the Father through His Son Jesus Christ, it gives us peace. You know, sometimes they may not feel like, I don't feel like I'm doing something. What's wrong with me? Well, we're humans. You know, when we think about how we think and view things through our 8-pound gray mass between our ears, you know, we think human thoughts. So, you know, when we have the mind of Christ, and He tells us through Paul's writings that we can have the mind of Christ on, we can think like Christ thinks. And we can make decisions based on who we are in Christ versus knee-jerk reactions and go like, okay, I want that car, or I want to do, you know, that sometimes we make decisions and that's based off of emotions versus what we should be making as a reasonable decision. And I think we all been there, done that, and got t-shirts and all that stuff, you know, hats and all that. But anyway, as we study the Word of God, and we're in lesson five, and we're going through a fundamentals of dispensationalism. That's showing you how the Bible's laid out dispensationalistically. And we're in lesson five, so we're not that far advanced, but we are in a section of the Bible that it's really to us, and we're just skimming the top right now, but we're going to go back and go through the whole Bible. Now, for the first-time viewers or first-time people here, this is a timeline of your Bible. If you didn't have this timeline up here, or you could say like a roadmap or a policy manual or something like that, it may be overwhelming at first, but once you see how it's laid out, God laid this out in his Word, and when you see how God laid things out, you're like, wow, what an awesome, you know, creator that He just made it so simple. Mm-hmm. And when we think about how religion is, we think about how they adulterate it, how they confuse things, and you're like, I can't do that. And most people just put their Bible down and go on about their merry way and say, I just can't do that. That's a performance-based system, basically what the law was. The law says if you do this, you get this, but if you don't, you know, that type of thing. And it's like speed limit signs. When you got a speed limit signs, does that really show you how good you are? It tells you how bad you are, you know, because you got to be. So that's the law, but we're under grace, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But we're in lesson five, and if you want to turn, if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 11, and I tend to go a little fast. So if I do, just for $3.99, you can buy the tape. And just joking, guys. Just joking.
It's Romans what?
We're going to Romans chapter 11. We hit it a little bit of this last in lesson four. So if you want to go over to our website or our YouTube channel, you can go back and listen to these lessons. But I'm just going to recap a little bit, because when you start in the book of Acts and you know your Bibles, your Genesis through Malachi, right? Okay. When you go to Genesis and Malachi, and between Malachi and Matthew, there's some big giant printed words in there that says New Testament. Okay. And I want to share this with you. Man put that in there. Okay. Because as you study the Word of God dispensationally, you'll realize what we have so far, and is Genesis through Malachi. There's a certain distinction in times past. This top line up here is Israel, Jew, circumcision. This line down here is Gentiles. That would be 99% of us, okay? So We was down here in times past, God made a distinction between Jew and Gentile. Circumcision, uncircumcision. God made that distinction. So we have to acknowledge that distinction in a good way, because God, through Israel, he chose one nation, pulled them out, said, you're going to be my nation of priests, and all the nations of the world are supposed to come to that light. They're supposed to be the light of the world. Well, what happened? They did. They became adulterated with the God of this world, and to the fact that when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when the Lord Jesus Christ come on the scene, did they even recognize who Jesus was? And leaving Jesus Christ looking at them going, your father's a devil. Called them vipers and all that stuff. So he chose, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's still a distinction. That's his earthly ministry, and God through his son, Jesus Christ, made a distinction that he chose 12 apostles, and he gave them the power and gave them the keys of the kingdom to establish, and took it away from the nation Israel. They didn't like that, did they? Remember when John the Baptist came on the scene? John the Baptist was a man sent from God the Father, okay? And what did they do to him? And he preached a message to the Jews. He came to them, came out in the wilderness. He did not go downtown Jerusalem and belly up with all the disciples, Pharisees and all the leaders. You know, he was outside of Jerusalem calling them out. And people heard him bleed their Bible. And they had a Bible. It was just not, you know, words. They bleed the Bible. And they came out except the Pharisees and lawyers and the Sadducees. And they was the religious leaders of Israel. And they didn't want no part of that. So he's a man sent from God. They cut his head off. Strike one. Then Lord Jesus Christ, God's son, preached the same message John the Baptist did. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, okay? He didn't make a new ministry. His earthly ministry was to Israel, okay? To feed them first, because they was God's chosen people back here. What did they do to him? We don't want no king. We our king but Caesar, okay? They crucified him. Then he died and buried and rose again, and a part of Acts comes along. And he comes still to the Israel, okay? So you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and if there's still a distinction during that time period, and we look at the Bible in three divisions, time period, you have times past, you have but now, it's not there yet, because, and then you have ages to come. So, in Israel's program, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was no mystery. It's all in prophecy that he was going to come and die. Genesis 3:15. And then Israel's program in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, he's still dealing with Israel. Stephen. You know who Stephen was? He says, a man full of the Holy Ghost. What did they do to him? He told those religious leaders, what you did, you were stiff-necked and uncircumcised. You know what that meant to them? Ooh, them was dangerous words, you know? And they stoned him, strike three. You like baseball? How many strikes you get when you're out?
Three
strikes, Israel is out. But if you notice, this chart's still going on with Israel. So the next thing in the prophetic program with Stephen was, he looked up, Jesus Christ standing. He wasn't standing to welcome Stephen home. He was standing because the next thing in the prophetic program is the wrath. He's getting ready to pour out the wrath on Israel and the world. So the wrath right here, the tribulation, is when the Antichrist shows up and all that stuff. Then he comes back and sets up a kingdom for 1,000 years. Then Satan is let loose after 1,000 years. The great white throne of judgment is for non-believers and sinners. If you're saved today, guys, that you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, you're not going to go through this time period.
Amen.
See? You're not even going to show up at a great white throne of judgment, because your sins have already been paid for at the cross. See? So this is where we're at right now. So in the start of book of Acts, the ministry still goes to Israel, right here. It's being off, right here, it's being at hand. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I don't have coffee set up today, I apologize for that. But if the coffee was back there, it's at hand, right? It's not offered till you go back there and pour it. So Israel's, right in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the program of Israel is being offered to Israel here. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Acts chapter 2, Peter standing up with 11, makes 12, at Pentecost, talking to the Israelites from all nations. They was there, and he's offering them that kingdom. Okay? That's why he says repent and be baptized for remission of sin. That's Acts 2:38. Where would you think a bunch of Gentiles would be at Pentecost?
They're not
going to
be there.
They're not going to be there. We're out here eating hogs. You know what I mean? We're out here, we're serving other gods. I'm serious, we're serving other gods. So he's not talking to us here. And I know it's strange. Sometimes it can be strange because we've been taught in a religious system since we've been born that all the Bible's to us, right?
For everyone.
Okay. But is it for us? Is all the Bible for us? Yes. But is all of it to you?
No.
No. Very good. It's not all to you. So when we want to do what God is doing, and we want to please God, and we want to be in God's will, we automatically think all this is written to us. But it's not when there's a distinction. Okay? Now, in times past, we're Gentiles down here. Could we get saved and follow the God of Abraham, Isaac,
yes.
and Jacob? Yes. Now, how would you do that?
Seeker.
Proselyte. Okay. What you would do, you would denounce the heathen we was, and you become an Israelite. Mm-hmm. Today, what 90% of the churches out there do in some form, some shape, will take Israel's program and try to apply it to you today. Okay? And they will make you a spiritual Israelite, a spiritual Jew. So when you spiritualize the Bible, which you don't do, that's allegorically, okay? We take the Bible to be literal, okay? Mm-hmm. Where it's at. The normal reading. Mean what it says what it means. So if you spiritualize with spiritual eyes, you're going to tell spiritual lies. And I seen something the other day, I'm like, when you realize with real eyes, you'll tell real lies. If you don't, you know, it's basically the same thing. I'm like, so when you spiritualize yourself in this program, you're lying to yourself. You're going to tell you're going to say, I can do it, and guess what? You can't do it. So the ministry goes to Israel here. Acts 13 through 28, there's something different going on. And when you open up the chart, we're in what we call but now. Okay? You with me? Mm-hmm. This is a program that God is doing today in the dispensation of grace. Israel starts out, they're up here on top. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 says, the first question after he died, they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, when will you again restore the kingdom to Israel? They want to know because why? That's all they've been taught for 3.5 years. So that would be a good question, right? Hey, you left us. And the ministry, he told them, he said, don't go to Gentiles. Don't go to Samaritans. Go to Jerusalem, Judea. And then, so they started out that way. But when they stoned Stephen, Apostle Saul of Tarsus was there. He was creating havoc for this church up here. So what happens, Israel, I told you to turn to Romans chapter 11. From Acts chapter 13 to 28, the ministry goes to the Gentiles. And there's a transition to but now. So we was in times past, we're in but now, and we can see that in Ephesians chapter 2. You want to identify these time periods, but now, and then there's ages to come after we're taken out of here. So there's a new program comes in when Jesus Christ saves a man of the name of Saul of Tarsus and makes him Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, sending him out with a new message called the dispensation of grace. There's five dispensations in the Bible, and dispensation is a good God-breathed word. All it means is dispensing. God never changes, does he? Mm-hmm. You've heard that all your life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when you explain the Bible this way, they look at you, God never changes. You know, amen, hallelujah. God never changes. His standard is like this. He never drops it for anybody, but the way he's dealt with man has changed. Remember back in the garden? You know, Adam was a vegetarian. The trees was his meat. Okay? Noah. Okay? Noah comes on the scene, puts the animals on the ark, lets them out. He said, you can catch it, you can eat it. Moses, clean and unclean. How many likes catfish? A few of us. Some of you like, you know Israel couldn't eat catfish? Mm-hmm. Had no scales on it. They can't eat bacon. Imagine that.
That's a shame.
Yeah, so clean and unclean. Yeah. Paul comes on the scene. Do all things in moderation. Thanksgiving, just pray for it. Eat. Now, I know if I eat 13 hamburgers today, chances are I'm going to get, and I go, you know what I mean? You do things in moderation, and you give thanks for it. So you know what to eat. Now, so there's no distinction in that program. But did God change? No. So when the Israelites came on the scene, and God, when man fell, each dispensation is a promise. Abraham. Then you had the dispensation of law. That's what Lord Jesus Christ is. Now we're in a dispensation of grace. Then we're taken out of here in a great event called the rapture, which is only found in Paul's epistles about the body of Christ. We're taking a dispensation of the kingdom. Then after that, there's a dispensation of the fullness of times. When God takes it all from heaven and earth and gets it to his Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus is going to have rule and reign over everything. Mm-hmm. Wonderful time. This is a hope, guys.
Amen.
You know, this is a promise that God made through his Son. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled, talking about Israel, that they shall fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more the fullness? These are a lot of questions. For I speak to you Gentiles, as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. So what he's saying is, have they stumbled that they should fall? And they said, God forbid. Where did Israel stumble? Sure, he's going to answer every one of these questions. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I mean, true. Okay, yeah.
We need that in the back.
Okay, that's fine. That's good. She's not back there sleeping.
We're
not going to her. Oh, yeah, yeah. I always say if I put you to sleep, I can wake you up. Just remember that. We used to have water pistols up here. But anyway, they stumbled at the cross. But did they fall? We just realized they didn't because it was being offered to them. Right? But rather through their fall, they do fall. Israel falls. And the diminishing of them, they're down here today. Israel is. There's no distinction. Look at this. He says, look at this very carefully. Paul says that now through their fall, Israel, not the distinction between the circumcision and uncircumcision anymore. And it's being done with. And salvation's to every man in the dispensation of grace. In the dispensation in times past, and dispensation, It wasn't to every man. You had to do certain things. And us guys, we would have to be circumcised the manner of Moses to be saved. Mm-hmm. How is the circumcision going on today?
Believe.
Your heart. See, that's the main circumcision. And in all reality, it was over there too. Mm-hmm. It's always been faith. But is God said, okay, I carried you on eagle's wings. Talking about Israel. You know, let me do it for you. No, no, no. We want judges. We want kings. He said, okay. And he treated him like a child. That's Israel, my firstborn child. So God's child is Israel. Okay? And he there's a distinction back there. And then he verifies his own authority. I am apostle to the Gentile. Now, how many apostles do you know from your Bible study? You don't have to name them, but...
You mean the names.
You don't have to name the name, but how many are they?
12.
Okay. Do you ever notice that religion will magnify these 12, but they won't say much about this man? They kind of discredit him. You know, he's
a rebel.
You know, he talks bad about women. You know, that type... You hear all kinds of things. You know, women can't speak in the church. You know, that type of thing. But what they do is, when Judas failed, right, or betrayed God, and he went out and died, killed himself, they replaced him in Acts chapter 1 with Matthias. And a lot of us says, no, 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 they cast lots, they gambled. Well, that's what God told them to do. Lots was cast over here all through Israel's program. But when it comes to Apostle Paul, how many would that make?
13.
What's the number 13? Usually we can say it's unlucky, right? Well, it's also rebellion. Okay, okay. Well, you know how many books Paul wrote?
13.
He wrote more books than any other writer in the Bible. He writes 13 epistles to 13... Gentiles, we was a bunch of rebellion. You know what I mean? We was rebellious people, heathen. So he's the apostle of Gentiles. And how did God's word get to the Gentiles? Back here it's through Israel, but now it's through who? Paul. So you have circumcision in Israel in times past, Genesis through Malachi. You have circumcision, uncircumcision. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you have the early part of Acts. They're all times past in your Bible. Then you have, but now, and by the way, God is forming a body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ. He's not forming a kingdom. Now, and this may be strange to some ears, but he has formed, the kingdom on earth was for Israel. God gave the kingdom on earth Israel. What he's doing today, he's forming a body of Christ for the heavenly purpose. Now, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. God automatically made a distinction between the two. Then Genesis chapter 1, verses 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, God's focus is the earth. That's why everybody wants to build a kingdom. We've got to build a kingdom, kingdom on earth. God's never told you and I in the dispensation of grace to build a kingdom on earth. He's telling you and I today to take a message of grace, simple, that God died for your sins and buried and rose again, to a lost world, get them saved. He places them in a body. Then he takes us out of here at any given time. There's no time. You know, 12 o'clock today, y'all better be ready.
I'm ready.
You should be ready. But what I'm saying is, you can't find that in the Bible.
No. Mm-mm.
But the terms that Paul uses are military terms. Soldiers, ready, fight. So many of you may be in the military. Many of you may understand what I'm saying, but at 5 o'clock in the morning, what went off? Reveille. Boom.
No.
You jumped up, and guess what? You was ready all day, wasn't you? Until you heard taps. Time to go to sleep. Well, when you hear the glorious gospel, the grace of God, for the first time that He saved you, that was a trump, and you heard it, you're in a ready state. Paul says don't sleep. So you should be ready at any given time, because that last trump hasn't been called yet to call us out, okay? So we're in a ready state. Romans chapter 12. So in a dispensation, Romans chapter 10, sorry. Romans chapter 10 verse 12 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich upon all that call upon Him." Now, this is a question. Could you say that there was no difference between Jew and Gentile in times past? Because you just seen that there's a distinction. Now, can you say there is no difference in the dispensation called but now? There's no distinction today. We're all down here. So if we're all down here, why would you want to be a part of this program that God's not doing today? You with me? It's no benefit. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. This is how you know when you get to Romans, Paul says there's no difference. And you move from times past, you get off that interstate, and you get off the exit going to the campground. Now you know you're in the dispensation of grace because everything's happy, right? Now, look, but anyway, you're in grace right here. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ." This is some good information, guys, because this is something that you couldn't say back over here. So in the dispensation of grace, in the but now, what we're doing right now is something new, and you'll never find that truth. And I challenge you, I challenge everybody listening, to find that you can see this truth over here. Okay? That you'll never ever find what Paul is describing in the dispensation of grace back over here. You won't find it. Now, have many of you heard like mystery? When you think of a mystery, do you think of cloak and dagger or hats or do you think of it something kept secret? Okay? God talks about mystery program, He talks about the prophecy program. Do you know what the prophetic program is? Prophecy, something
to happen.
Yeah, something spoken since the world began. We're going to see this. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1.
It's just after Galatians, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. One book over. "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you." Now, he's saying, for you Gentiles, the dispensation of grace. Notice, we already identified what a dispensation was. And it's a peculiar set of instructions given by God to man for man's obedience. So, the dispensation of grace is the instruction about how the program but now is going to work. We don't go, Paul says, I didn't give you the dispensation of law, the dispensation of grace. Verse 3, "How that by revelation, he, Christ, made known unto me the mystery." And now what is that? "As I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Now, is something revealed now could have been revealed over here? Something kept secret. What did he say? Which in other ages was not made known. This is good information, guys. Because look, in times past, they did not know what God was doing in the body of Christ. This is what throws a lot of preachers off over there and a lot of religious systems. They don't acknowledge what God is doing through Apostle Paul, so they just bring all this over as if this don't happen, and they say it's a continuation. Paul's just preaching the same thing Peter preached. No, that's error. I'll show you that here in a little bit. But now the mystery and secret is revealed. When you read, hold your fingers there and get Acts chapter 3 and get Romans 16. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Verse 21. By the way, Acts chapter 3, verse 12 says, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel." Now, who's he talking to?
The nation.
Israel. Mm-hmm. He's not talking to the body of Christ. Then he says, verse 21, when the heavens, well, verse 18. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath fulfilled. That's he's showing Israel that God's got to do it. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now let me ask you something. With that just being said right there, how many has heard, and I'm not being ugly, but how many has heard that in order to be saved today, that you have to go to Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized for remissions of sins, and speak in tongues with the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. Repent, be baptized, and speak in tongues, okay? Then, now, you got remember who's he talking to? Israel. Now, he said that in Acts chapter 2. He's talking to a bunch of Israelites at Pentecost. Acts chapter 3, Peter's talking to the Israelites, the rulers. And what did he just say? Repent, be baptized, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come. Now, when is that? That's over here. So if you believe that to be saved, you will not have your sins blotted out until he comes back over here. Now, how horrible is that? To be stealing your sins, beating yourself every day. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, that you have now received atonement. Mm-hmm. Repent, be baptized, and speak in tongues. Receive. It's not the death, burial, and resurrection. They don't mix. And I know family members and I know people says that's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Peter did not preach the death, burial, and resurrection right there. Period. And then you go. What did I say?
21.
Did we read that yet?
No.
When the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, what's that? Since the world began. Now, Romans 16:25. Now there was something spoken since the world began. Now what from Adam, world began, right? And something spoken since. That's what we call prophecy. Something spoken since the world began. Now, what does he say? Romans chapter 16, verse 25. This is Apostle Paul talking in the but now. Now, to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul's making it personal here, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Now here's something that was kept secret since the world began, but now is revealed. Don't lie to yourself. But how many can you really, 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 really keep a secret? Sometimes when somebody, don't it just burn inside of you? And just like, you know, I really shouldn't say this. And I say, well, you shouldn't say it, but go ahead. Go ahead. You and I cannot keep a secret. We wait for it to be revealed. We wait for the time. I knew that. I was going to tell you, but I couldn't.
Right.
You know, that. Here's something that was kept secret in God, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Way back over here, before he even thought about this program, God had this program kept secret. And there's a reason for that. Now, who is the God of this world? Have you ever heard that term?
Oh, yeah.
Satan, right? He is known as a little g. The big G is God the Creator. That's always when you talk to people, say, yeah, I believe in God. My first reaction is, well, which God do you believe in? Mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean, which God? I said, well, there's a God of the Bible. Big G, God the Creator. And then there's little G's. Did you know that in the garden with Adam, when Satan showed up, that he said you'll be like other gods? Mm-hmm. That there was other gods already outside that garden? And he controls the God of this world. But he's also known as, through Paul's apostles, a prince of power of the air. When Satan fell, he was known Lucifer. He convinced 1/3 of the angelic being to follow him. 1/3. That's a lot. So you think about that for a second. How much easier would you and I be following him? Right here in your mind is where the battle is. The spirit's right here. So he created, he convinced 1/3. How did God stop that rebellion?
He created hell.
He created hell. They went, whoa. You know, hell was never created for you and I. It was created for the devil and his angels. But it's enlarged because you and I choose not to believe what Christ did. God never sends you and I to hell. And God never violates our free will. Okay? You with me? He always lets you choose. Adam. Eve was deceived, but Adam made a choice. So back over there, when he became the God of this world, Adam said, here, Satan, it's yours. Adam was a prince. Adam's supposed to have been a prophet, priest, and king in that garden. And he handed over the deed to Satan, and he became the god of this world. Okay? And then you look at the prince of power of the air. When Satan fell, there's three heavens, by the way. I know this might be getting deep, but Paul talks about, I knew a man that was in the flesh, out of the flesh, I don't know, that went to the third heaven. So when you look out that blue skies, that's the first heaven. The second is where the stars are at. And the third is where God Almighty sits. Okay? And Satan came out of that throne room up there where he was a choir leader. He was a light bearer. And he came out of there, and the first and second heaven that you see, Satan controls it. You know the zodiac? Okay? The zodiac was laid out supposed to start out as Virgo. Is that the woman, right? And ends with Leo. And before we have the written word of God, Adam and them could look up in the stars, and it told a redemption story how God was going to redeem mankind. It was laid out. But when Satan corrupted it, it goes from Arius to whatever. And they're telling a different story up there today. You can't look to the stars and figure out what God's doing when we have his word. See, we have his infallible word. So Satan is taken over that. this mystery program that we're talking about here is something that was kept secret, that the body of Christ is going to take over that positions of those fallen angels and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're like, if Satan had known this, what is first? You're in Romans, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. One book over. What God was given to Paul was something as a mystery program, and that's why we preach. We preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery. We don't preach Jesus Christ according to his earthly ministry. We preach the whole Bible. But when you make that distinction, then you're like, hmm. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's what Paul wanted to know. You know, that's what Paul went to the place to say, you know Jesus Christ? If you didn't know Jesus Christ, Paul would take you back to God the Creator, back to Genesis. Because chances are a bunch of heathen Gentiles would not know who Jesus Christ was. And even in when they had fallen, and Paul says there's no distinction back here, those Jews that did not believe Peter's message over here, they're heathen. They're down here. So Paul had to go to them and say, who's Jesus Christ? But it says, look, "And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit of power." I love that because, you know, I'm a special commodities relocation engineer, which is a truck driver. And you're like, how do you know this? Because you don't preach with enticing words. These big Dallas seminaries, if you don't mind me saying, they teach you hold your hands these and thous and raise money. Paul don't teach us that way. The simplicity, verse 5, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught." There's princes of this world, Satan's princes are preaching, distorting this message, and wisdom of man, you know what wisdom of man will do. Many of us in here wise. Many of us in here probably got educations, you know, plaques all over the place. Wisdom of man. But what does it get you today? But look, but we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Here's a kicker. "Which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of what?"
Glory. Amen.
Now you think about that for a minute. If God had put this message that we speak and we preach with conviction and authority out of his word, if he had known this message back over here, it said they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why?
Because he didn't know what was going to be accomplished.
Yeah. See, what God is accomplishing now is he's going to take over at heavenly with the body of Christ. You remember in Matthew chapter, and I'm going to get ready to close here, man. But if not, I'll be here all day. But Matthew, go to Matthew right there. We got just a few more minutes. I got to show you this. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. John the Baptist, Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist is out in the wilderness, out there baptized. Jesus Christ goes to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, "You need to baptize me, basically. I'm just, you know, that type of thing." And he said, "Suffer be so now, for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, Lord Jesus Christ did not have sin on him. That water had nothing to do with taking away your sins. It had to do with him being placed into a priesthood for the kingdom of priests. Now, Lord Jesus Christ at the time, he was already a prophet. Everybody, you talk to a Muslim today, he's a prophet. But they will not acknowledge he's a priest or a king. Okay, especially a king. So when Lord Jesus Christ got baptized with John, he's identifying with John's ministry as a nation of priests to teach and to preach to this apostated nation to get them into a kingdom. Okay? So he had to be into that. Mm-hmm. Well, right after that, he goes to the wilderness. And when he goes to the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, then was Jesus led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread. Now, was he the Son of God?
Amen.
But what's a tempter doing?
He's trying to trip him up.
Putting doubt, just like he did Adam and Eve. Oh, God said? Well, yes, he said, if you eat this fruit, you're going to die. Not lest you... You know, they watered down stuff, they added to stuff, and finally they just totally denied the Word of God. You know anybody like that? Yeah, I don't know a lot of people like that. But he says, verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now let me ask you something. What's the Lord Jesus Christ using as authority here? Shouldn't you and I use the scriptures? Now, how many has ever worked in a place that had a policy book? Okay, every one of us, right? Now, would your bosses or your company or corporation frown down if you did not follow that policy book? Okay, we have, in the trucking world, we have a federal regulation for trucking, you know? And there's been times, and I felt ignorant, they've been timed and they said, driver, you know you're in violation of 396.3. I'm like, what is that? You mean you don't know? You know, that type of thing. Well, I should look over these regulations. You know, that type of thing. But if you say, I don't worry about that, ain't got to apply to me. Here comes that toilet paper roll of writing tickets. You know, they just keep, okay, keep talking, driver. Keep talking. They policy books. He says it is written. He's using the Word of God. So that tells you something. Did they have the Word of God back then?
Yes.
You have the Word of God today.
Mm-hmm.
So the bread, the food, he's going to feed them. Listen, what Satan is tempting Jesus Christ with here is what he's going to do over here for Israel. He's going to feed Israel. What does it say right quick? Let's go. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh them up on the holy city, and showeth him on the pinnacle of the temple. So he's taking them up, and he's going to show them the kingdoms of this world. And he said unto them, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thou foot against a stone. What is he saying again? Satan's saying, it's written. Well, yes, it's written. Jesus Christ could have jumped off there and called 10,000 angels and picked him up right there. And then what Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm.
Here's again, the devil taketh him up on the exceeding high mountain. And every time you look in a mountain in the Bible, it has to do with a kingdom. When the book of Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as king. And if you notice, every time he spoke, he's coming up on a mount. And he gives the Sermon on the Mount, which was not to you and I, but he's telling them, this is the kingdom. So the book of Matthew is written about a kingdom over here. So when you take the book of Matthew, you better watch how you apply to that, because it's going to this time period right here. You and I could never do what they did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So when people tell you got, it's okay to be saved, that you trust Christ died and buried, rose again, but you got to live like Jesus did. You got to do what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did. How's that working? You ever got on a treadmill? Many of you may have them. We used to have well, we've got one now. We had one and had clothes piled up on it like that. Because it's a performance-based system. You're going, yeah, man, this is cool. You elevate. That's what that law did. You would not be able to live back then. Here's what it says. Look. Again, the devil taketh him, verse 6, on a exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and glory, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, how in the world could Satan give Jesus Christ, is in our reality, he's Lord, Lord, King, Kings, and he's going to be Lord, Lord, King, Kings over here. How could hit man give Jesus Christ the kingdoms of the world? If there was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Because Adam handed it to him, that's how.
That's why he's the God of this world. And he could have done that. Look what Jesus says. No, I'm God. I'm King. You bow down to me. He don't say that. He says, and he said, verse 10, then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus Christ did not dispute who God of this world was. Mm-mm. You with me? Mm-hmm. So when if they had not crucified, getting back to Corinthians right quick, it says, for the princes of this world had known they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't care about that. Because at this time, I'll give you the kingdom of the world, Jesus. But what was Satan still above? The earth. He still had to set first and second. He's still in power. He's still above it all. You with me? Mm-hmm. And that's why we're going to shut off there. But that's why this is very, very important. This message today is very, very important to understand what God is doing today. We know what he did in times past. This part over here, we'll find out later in the Hebrews and stuff like that, that it's talking about over here. So when you study the Bible, you study it times past, but now, and ages to come. You study it in a twofold program, prophecy, mystery. And when you study the Bible like that, Ephesians chapter 2, right quick, and when you study the Bible like that, you're going to say, wow, this makes so much sense that this old truck driver can understand. If I can understand it, anybody can understand it. I'm serious as a heart about that. And Sherry and I, we grew up Southern Baptists. Well, she was like charismatic Pentecostal snake handling, this joke. Yeah. But anyway, but anyway, we grew up really, there not many of us had not, our ages had not grown up at least knowing some type of church, right? And it was about baptism, about altar calls, and all this stuff. And then when these group of dispensations came to Sherry and I and said, hey, you ever considered this? They didn't come down and beat us in the head and dump all this Pauline truce on us. Have you ever considered Acts where he says, you men of Israel, you men of Judea? And you're like, wow. And they started showing this, and you're like, and we had a, I say we, but me personally had to make a decision that either this was right and God was right. I just wanted to be right with God. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about man. I was one of them. I lie to you like anything else. I'm serious. But the thing is, when I had to make a decision that this was right, and I want to be right for God, the whole Bible opened up. Now, I do not know it all. Don't claim to be. But it is written in here. And we have his final word. And any of us can know anything we want to do. I said Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 11 right quick. Then I will be quiet. Ephesians chapter 2. This time's up. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 says, wherefore, remember that ye being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. You see that distinction? Circumcision, uncircumcision. What time? Times past. verse 12, that and that that time, times past, ye, talking about us, Gentiles, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Let me ask you something. Is that good?
No.
Is that an advantage or disadvantage?
Disadvantage.
Who had the advantage? In Romans chapter 9, verse 3 and 4, that shows you Israel had the advantage. They had the covenants of God. Nobody in my young religious life ever showed me that verse. That scared me. And if that didn't scare you, look at verse 2 over here, chapter 2. Wherefore, in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. There's that prince of the power of the air, Satan. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and of the mind, were by nature children of wrath, even as others. That's not good. Mm-mm. We all had our conversation. You and I was not born out of the womb with a silver heavenly spoon in our mouth going to heaven. Mm-hmm. One person did that, right? Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 4 says, but God. So in times past, look at verse 13 in that same chapter. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Times past, but now we're made nigh. How are we made nigh? By the blood of Christ. By the cross. Not at that cross. At that cross, we done found out there was still distinction. Then verse 7 over here, that in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Times past. But now, ages come. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. And if you just keep it that way and simple, it's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're listening, you can see us once again on visit our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. And just drop us a line, and until this time next week.